We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're up to the fourth chapter, the 17th Mishnah. We had been quoting a Tana. We don't see that often. Rabbi Yaakov. Who are you, Omer? Rabbi Yaakov. He used to say. Now, Rabbi Yaakov taught us in the previous Mishnah that this world is like the hallway before the world to come. That Mishnah is the opening lines of Mesilat Yesharim. Ramchal takes that Mishnah and makes it the focus. Realize that you're working towards something better in a world to come. That was Rabbi Yaakov's Mishnah Tetzain. Now we continue to Mishnah Yud Zain. Hu haya omer, he, that same Rabbi Yaakov, who taught us to realize that this world is where we prepare for the world to come, he used to say, Yafa sha'a achat b'tshuva u'masim tovim ba'olam hazeh. It is more beautiful a period. Sha'ah doesn't necessarily mean literally an hour. In most places in Shas, the word sha'ah means a period of time. It doesn't mean 60 minutes in most of Shas. That's what Rabbeinu Yona writes. Yafa sha'ah achat b'tshuva u'masim tovim ba'olam hazeh. A period in one's life where he is focused for those minutes or hours on doing tshuva and good deeds in this world, it is more beautiful mikol chayei haolam haba, from all the world to come. Ah, you thought you understood me in the previous Mishnah, where I said this world is the hallway to the next world. Next world is the castle. This world is the hallway. Says Rabbi Yaakov, but you should know that spending time doing what's right in this world is more valuable than all the life in the world to come. And a period in the world to come of the pleasantness that the world to come offers is greater than mikol chayei olam hazeh, all the life in this world. It would seem he's talking about all the mundane pleasures. He's saying spiritual pleasures of this world are better than the whole world to come. Doing what's right in this world is better than that. But you should know that the enjoyment of the world to come, even a small period of time in the world to come, is greater than all of the enjoyment in life in this world. So when you compare enjoyment, you're going to enjoy yourself more there. When you compare what's greater, it's greater the time you spend doing what's right. Here, let's hear Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation. He says the value of this world is how much you can accomplish in the world to come. You reach the world to come, it's a question of what you brought with you. That's it. What did you accomplish? To some degree. Because we can do things to give merits to people who passed away from the world. For sure, people who are parents. People who are our progenitors. So then we have the concept of Bira Mizake Abba. A descendant, a child, can give merits to their progenitor, to their father or mother. So generally we say it's a done deal, but it's not exactly a done deal because Rashi keeps growing in the world to come. Every time we learn what Rashi taught, Rashi wrote down and Rashi taught, so our actions do produce fruits, meaning it's not a done deal. There are things you can establish in this world that keep giving you fruits. If a person establishes a yeshiva, if a person donates svarim, every time someone learns from that sefer, so the person gets more merit. So in that sense, a person keeps growing.
Pays annuities.
Pays annuities, yeah.
Because he's different as a result of reading that you contributed to it.
Yes.
Same thing, you're working reverse after
it. Right, right. Kama shevatzinu v'seder kedoshim, as it says in the parashas kedoshim, oto maaseh shel Yossi ben Yoezer, shehaya yotze le'areg. Yossi ben Yoezer was being taken out to be executed by the Romans. Upaga bo Yokim ish tzorot harasha. There was a wicked person called Yokim ish tzorot, and he sees Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer being led out in shackles to be hung, to be killed. And he meets him, Rochev al Sus, and he's riding on a horse. So Yokim Ish Tzorot is riding on his horse. And the great Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer has his hands tied. He's being led with soldiers on another horse to be taken to the gallows, to be killed. Amalei. So Yakimish Tzrorot says to Yossi ben Yoezer, he says, look at that, you're on a horse and I'm on a horse. Chaze susya dal kevach marach, v'chaze susya dal kevach maran. So Yakim says to the rabbi, he says, look at the horse your master gave you, and look at the horse my master gave me. I'm riding on a fancy horse, Yakim tells him. I'm having the time of my life. You're riding on a horse to be hung. Look at the horse your master gave you. Look at the horse God put you on. Look at the horse my master gave me. Yakim says, look at what the Roman emperor, how he's honored me. Amar lo. So Yossi ben Yoezer is being led to the gallows. And he looks at Yakim and he says, Im lo vrei ritzono kach. If this is how Hashem allows those who transgress His will to benefit, so then, don't you think I'm going to get much more than that? I'm going to die. I'm about to enjoy much more than you have right here. So he says to him, if this is the benefits you're having right now, don't worry. There's more waiting for me. So Yakim says, wait a second. You're the one who fulfilled His will more than anyone else. What are you telling me? So Yakim says to him, you're doing the will of God. Is there anyone better than you in the Jewish people? You are the Nasi, you're the prince of the Jewish people. You're the biggest, most pious person. So how do you understand the fact you're going to the gallows? So Yossi ben Yoezer answers him, he says, if I, who am doing the will of Hashem, this is my end. Just imagine what your end's going to be like. Yossi's on his way to the gallows. Yakim is on his way to the bar. And suddenly he hears this line from the rabbi. He tells him, this is what's waiting for me. Wait and see what's waiting for you. Yakim got scared. Pirush hevin bidvarav, ki amarim tov l'arshim uvertzono b'olam hazeh, kol kach, halachat kamar v'chaman tzadkim b'olam haba. Yossi wasn't talking about this world. The rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer was saying to him, we have good things waiting for us in the world to come. Ki tiyeh tova kfula mechupel mitvat arshim b'olam hazeh. He says, I'm going to have much more benefit than what you're enjoying in this world. The Shama in Shalom Larshim, and he's saying, but you should know, your pleasure in this world is going to end, and then you're going to enter an era where you'll have no peace. And he says, what the Tzadikim, Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, says to him, what I'm suffering in this world, you're going to suffer tenfold in the world to come. So the Midrash says, Yakim went and said, oh my gosh, look at what I've done. I better make amends. And he convened the court and he said, help me out. I want you to kill me with the four executions of the Beis Din at the same time, because I deserve all of them. So let me get all of them at the same time. Let me at least pay my dues. That's a good question. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, b'shakalak diman legan Eden. Who died first? Yakim died first. Yossi ben Yoezer wasn't yet killed at the gallows when he saw Yakim having all four executions being committed to himself. And he told the people present, he says, you should know, he beat me to Gan Eden. He got there first. Sounds like it worked. Right? That's an interesting thing. About this, our sages said, the conclusion of this Mishnah, the beginning of this Mishnah, even a small time that Yakim spent doing tshuva and good deeds in this world was what accomplished for him the world to come. The great thing about this world is not the pizza parties you can have. It's not all the pleasures of this world, because that's not so great. The praise of this world is what you can accomplish in this world. That's what I think it's Ramchal that writes. The greatest proof that there's a world to come is because this world isn't so great. He says, if this is the best there is, then it's a disappointment.
If this
let's just finish, okay? I'll get you guys 1 second. Let's finish the thought. Gam Shlomo HaMelech, HaMahavi LaOlam B'Sefer Kohelet, King Solomon 2, who says the whole world is vain. He spends the book of Ecclesiastes speaking about how frustrating this world is. And in some places he says, you're not so much better off if you're alive or dead. And then sometimes he comes and says, no, you're better off. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. What's he saying? Wherever Shlomo HaMelech actually says it's worth living, what he means is it's worth living a life of value, a life of tshuva, of good deeds. So the only place you can accomplish these things are this world. So Shlomo HaMelech says, what's so great about the world? The wealth I accomplish, who knows who's going to get it? The wealth I accomplish, who knows if it's for good or bad? Some people get wealthy and it's their undoing. The pleasures I have, it's all going to rot away at the end. What's it worth? So Shlomo HaMelech keeps looking for meaning in the world. And the few times that he's actually excited about life, he's excited about what you can accomplish in life. So that's the idea of the beginning of the Mishnah, that this world is so valuable because this is the place where you can actually accomplish something. When a person passes away, then a person's going to get judged. So you're given up to judgment day, meaning until the day you die, to accomplish. So that's the idea that Rabbi Yaakov begins the Mishnah with, that this world is so valuable. Because in this world you can accomplish, right? We know the story of the Gra. He was lying on his deathbed. He grabbed his tzitzis. He said to his students, look at this. What did it cost me? A few pennies. And I every second I'm accomplishing a mitzvah, I'm about to die. And such valuable things are gone. I won't have this opportunity anymore. That's perspective. The value of a mitzvah. The value of a mitzvah. We sometimes forget how valuable each mitzvah is. It's we have many opportunities to do simple mitzvot, and if we would really see the value in each mitzvah, so then we'd grab those opportunities. I was standing on the way out of the yeshuv one day this week, and a guy stops, one of my neighbors, and he offers me a ride. So as I get into the car, I tell him, he tells me he could take me to a stop where there are many more buses that will take me into Jerusalem. So I said it's a huge help because the buses lately haven't been working so well. Sometimes you could stand at the stop. You should have a bus coming in 5 minutes, in 15 minutes, in 25 minutes, and you could stand a whole hour. None of those buses show. So if he takes me to a stop where there are more buses that come, it's a huge help. So he says, I'm so happy you told me that. I said, what do you mean? He said, I just finished davening. And in Shmona Esrei, I davened, I said to the Ribbon Shalom, please allow me to do chesed. I want to do good deeds in my life. Help me and let me do chesed. So when I picked you up, I wasn't sure if I was doing something meaningful or not. And when you're telling me that I'm helping you, so I'm very happy. My prayers were answered. But you know what? I'm not happy enough. Ribbon Shalom, I want more. This isn't enough. I'm just giving this guy a ride to two stops down. And then he said to me, you know this book, Avat Chesed? The Chafetz Chaim writes, he quotes it's Avos Rabbi Nasan, that when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so the rabbis started discussing, how can we get atonement for our sins? No more Beit HaMikdash, no more sacrifices. What can we do? The rabbis said, doing good deeds, being kind to other people, that's how you can get atonement for what you've done. And the Chafetz Chaim says, a person should know he's going to come to the world to come, he's going to have big bundles of transgressions, and he's going to say, what do I do with all that? How do I overcome that? And then every little act of kindness takes away a ton of things that he's done wrong. And so we all have big bundles. He's telling me this as he's driving me down. He says, so every little act we do pushes us forward such a long way, we can't even imagine how much it helps us. The Chafetz Chaim says, if only we would realize how much each act of kindness helps us in the long run. So this guy's giving me this speech as he's driving me down to the next stop. And I was thinking about it. He's got a very important point. If we would see the value in every little act of kindness we do, then we would have his attitude. We would say, of course I want to stop on the side and give someone a ride down, because I'm benefiting by it. I'm not losing. Look at what I got out of it. So that's the idea Rabbi Yaakov taught us in the Mishnah. You should know that accomplishment in this world outdoes everything. And that's what we're here for. And it's where we will get the value for the world to come. So that's the opening line. We still have to see the following line in the Mishnah, but yes.
Occurrences like this, when you have Yakim, who's a Roman leader, general, who is probably responsible for many murders of Jewish people, causing many orphans, his men probably violated Jewish laws, he totally caused a lot of damage. And not only that, according to the story, was very mocking of the Jewish way of life, the Jewish belief. Oh, look at what kind of donkey you're on, or what kind of horse you're riding. And he's able to undo all of that because he got spooked by the rabbi, by the Nazi's line saying, in Olam Haba, I'm going to get more. And that spook caused him to say, okay, so kill me in four different ways, and then he gets Gan Eden, which is not only the ultimate good, the ultimate, but all the rest of us have to toil in a whole life of in very difficult, often tedious ways. Speak this lashon hara or don't speak this lashon hara. Oh, let me remember if I, what are going to help my chances of Olam Haba in the future? What's the right thing to do? Oh, okay, so a Roman general could cause so much damage, so much bad to the Jewish people and mock the Torah, mock God, mock his chosen people and leaders, and then in one day get it all undone and beat the Nasi to Olam Haba. What are we supposed to make of this story among others? Because there are other stories of Romans who in one instant right before death did tshuva and are considered to be on high level.
So they keep it
exactly.
So it's a chiddush, that's why
possible.
Because it's about the intention, man.
But you're saying it's not fair that they don't have to answer.
But I'm saying we can have intention in our life, for 120 years, it still fall every now and again with small things, and then that can be used as quote unquote the bundles against us.
People could be
tricked. I don't understand how it could be so uneven. But not even just uneven. How that could even be a thing? How could it be a thing that someone? It's like saying to Hitler, oh, okay, so if Hitler decided at the end, I feel bad for what I do, Jews come and kill me now, I'm sorry. Does that undo the 6 million that died in the Holocaust, plus all of the Torah that was lost from European Jewry in the years up to leading up to the Holocaust? I don't understand how, there's no...
No balance.
You can't
there's
understand.
No balance. There's no balance, but there's no right... There's nothing right about it.
Half of it you can understand. You can understand that someone could be completely transformed and a different person. What you can understand is how he doesn't have to answer for the horrendous stuff he did.
I can understand, but I don't think that transformation happens in an instant.
You can, that we know.
Well,
but still, your question is valid.
You could change direction in an instant. Changing direction in an instant, transforming yourself.
I can't
yourself,
see it, but there's people
lifetime.
Who one day are doing all kinds of horrible things, and the next day they're able to keep that level. It's not recommended. Most people go up and down. But that's not your question.
I think people turn around it and they don't become Rabbi Akiva.
Well, but Rabbi Akiva's executioner says, gets a lot of us. So we don't understand. What I think everyone can relate to is, with your Hitler analogy, how can you not have to answer to what you did before?
That for sure.
That
that's
we
the main part.
Don't know.
That's the main
the
part.
The other part is debatable and I think you can talk about. There you go.
Sort of thing, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking whether it's better to leave it as a question.
No.
The question is if
that's settled.
To have an answer is satisfying. I think at some point we should hear it.
There are two answers. I want to suggest two answers, but they're the more important one is very dangerous, and that's why I'm debating whether I should discuss it. Let's begin with the easier one, okay? We didn't see over here that he didn't also go to Gehenna. It didn't say he didn't have to pay the price for everything he did. it said he got to Gan Eden. That doesn't mean he won't have an accounting day where they'll tell him, okay, you know, we have the concept of me'uvat lo yuchal litkon. There are things that are a person destroyed and they cannot fix them. Like you rightfully said, if Reuven murdered Shimon, and then a minute later Reuven says, kill me, I feel bad for what I did. Okay, that's very nice. But Shimon's wife is still an almana, Shimon's children are still orphans, or as Mr. Fleisch said earlier, there's still annuities, you called it, right? From the damages, there's still payment going, meaning it's not done. So I think the easier answer to understand is that the idea that he makes it to Gan Eden tells us that he did accomplish to a certain degree with his tshuva. I would add a point to that, that it would seem that the Medrash is not talking about something that transpired in an hour. It would seem that Yakim had time to think and reach a real conclusion and take real action. It wasn't a quick panic move where he had temporary insanity, if we'll call it that, or temporary inspiration to go and do something. It was something which he thought out, he had the opportunity to take care of, and he had the opportunity to reach a real change inside.
All of this took place on the way of
the Nassis. I guess it took time. Right, but maybe it was a journey to the gallows. Maybe they were taking him to Rome to hang him. You know, I don't know where the gallows were. But if he arranged the four death penalties, that takes time. Skila Shrefa Herik Henek, it's not in a moment that he could do it. So it would seem that thinking it through took him time, and reaching the conclusion and taking action took him time. So that's in terms of that, and I think that answer for now would suffice. There is a deeper answer, right? But I think it's a very dangerous answer, which I'm not sure is necessary, because I think this is good enough as it is. I think this answers the question on one level. We didn't say he doesn't have to pay for everything he did wrong. It's you want me to open the other? I'll leave you in suspense. So,
I'd love to hear it, but I don't want you to do something if in your judgment you say it will be taken.
No, I'll give you the direction of thought, okay, without going into the details. There's a big question which we have not yet dealt with in all my years here. It really deserves a series. But there is a big question about the idea of Bechira Chofshit. How much does Hashem allow us to do what we want? Now this is a very dangerous question. You want to say Hashgacha Pratit, Hashem's watching over everything and he decides what will happen. So there was a story, Dunash ben Labrat had stiff competition, and one of his competitors went to the prince of the city he lived in and lied about him and said that he was plotting a coup. And so on Shabbos day, the prince sent his men, and they pulled out all of Dunash's hair, and they, after beating him thoroughly, they, on Shabbos, broke down his house and made it into a dump. So he was left homeless and wounded and devastated after he had been a very faithful subject to this prince. And he writes back a letter to the prince, and he says, how could you do this to me? I've done so much for you. I've been so faithful to you. How could you believe the slander people say about me? And the prince writes him back, and he says, I've heard terrible things about what you were plotting and doing, and in the event that I was mistaken, don't worry about it. I only brought you closer to your Creator. I've done you a good service. So that's a very cruel line. That's the danger of the concept we're about to discuss. That if I can forgive myself for doing things that are wrong by saying the other party either deserved it or benefited from it, but I couldn't have hurt him if God didn't want me to hurt him. So that gives a person a freebie. Then a person takes away all responsibility for our actions.
This is a question of duties.
This is a major question. This is a major point of discussion. Where do we draw the line between Hashgacha Pratit and Bechira Chofshit? Meaning, if I'm not supposed to have this happen to me, can it happen to me anyways?
The answer that the guy did it, that we deal with by saying, even if it was meant to happen, even
Okay. So if the approach is that there are two levels of judgment, it wouldn't have happened. 6 million Jews wouldn't have died if God didn't want those 6 million to die. And then Hitler has to pay the price for being the facilitator.
I'm not very satisfied, but better than Hitler say, hey, I'm just doing God's will.
So then that opens another question of what tshuva does he have to do? Meaning, you understand where we're headed. Meaning, I'm saying, if my approach is going to be that the human responsibility is for being the facilitator, so the danger in that is that can diminish one's sense of responsibility. I'm not doing anything in this world. Only God decides what would happen. And our approach in Judaism is not that way. Our approach is you're fully responsible and you can affect what happens in the world.
We're choosing to be the facilitator. We said the Egyptians didn't have to treat us the way they treated us. Yes, we had to be slaves in a foreign land somewhere.
Oh, so you're adding another point that we say that there are many areas that Hashem leaves open. That Hashem says, I'm not going to decide what happens here. It's up to you.
I'm not pretending that our state is fulfilling or satisfying, really. It's just something.
Okay, but you see the danger in that.
Yeah.
Meaning, okay, so where does Hashgacha Pratit come in? And where does Bechira Chofshit come in?
So what kind of a God makes it so that this baby has to be burnt in the oven? If that has to happen, or you know, he has to answer. That's tough stuff.
Right. So that's but that's the direction which has to be approached. Also, when we look at Yakim, we have to address the basic question of where does responsibility lie? How much of it is by Hashem? How much of it is by man? And you're assuming a very large amount by man when you're saying, well, why is he allowed to do tshuva? And I'm saying that has to be explored with more depth. But you understand this is a very loaded topic, meaning, and again, the basic tenet of Judaism is that you are given free will and you're given responsibility. And that the Rambam stresses this in his introduction to Mishnah. You cannot say, Hashem has a plan. And I'm a pawn, but don't worry about it. Hashem has a plan. No, the whole concept of reward and punishment is you have a choice and you can make a decision. Bechira Chofshit is the precept to reward and punishment. You can't have reward and punishment if I don't have free will. If I have free will, that means I can do something.
But your story, your first two stories, it started all things saying, you know what, the point is, as much as they had horrendous challenges, they never gave up on themselves.
Right.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, that made the difference. I mean, everything else, we could give up on them or not give up on them. You didn't give up on them. You owe it to the parents. You did this, that. But they didn't give up on themselves.
Yeah.
So even these people who were telling them these stories who were horrendous never completely gave up on themselves, which is why he's better at dead lives or dead lives. Because when you're dead, you gave up on yourself. You know, unless, you know, yes, the deeds that you had here, which we talked about, still in effect. Just this idea of we throw around, you know, Olam Haba, who gets it what?
Wait. I didn't realize the timing. They're supposed to have class here.